And he was so locked up in trying to earn God's love by his performance that he hated venomously anybody who threatened to expose just how far short he fell. You know, a religious person who thinks they have got it going on for God and who justify themselves in their own eyes will fight venomously against anybody who threatens to pull the veneer off, who pulls the cover off and expose them for what they are, a sinner desperately in need of a Savior. And Saul was the epitome of that. He was a religious man. He was so tied up in all that stuff. He thought he was the epitome of a righteous person because of all that he did, and he could not see that inside he was the chief of sinners. He was persecuting the very God he claimed to serve. He was blind. And nothing could unlock his heart. But when this innocent young man, this gifted young man, when they dragged him out and began to stone him to death, to break his bones with rocks so that he bled out on the ground, when Saul saw his murder, something about watching Stephen die with the face of an angel. They said they gave their cloaks to Saul to hold. I think it's because Saul had a problem with his vision. You know, it's not a good thing for a man with a vision problem to be stoning people. I got him. I heard it. No, that was Bob. Saul, tell you what, give me the rock, buddy. Here, you hold the cloaks. We'll throw the stones. Yet, okay, think about it. Here's a man who thinks that the law of Moses is it. It is everything. He lives. His very life is consumed with the law of Moses. And here are the most religious men in the world. He's observing. He's watching. And literally, these men are probably the most religious men in the world, the most credentialed, the most educated, the most meticulous religious guys in the world. And suddenly, God rips the veneer off, and Saul sees into the darkness of their heart. And he sees a brutal, hateful, venomous, ugly, malicious rage pouring out of them, where they take an innocent young man and kill him in cold blood. Here are the most respected, highly religious people in the world killing an innocent man in cold blood. Something about that sight pierced Saul's armor. Something about that sight stuck like a splinter in his mind and would not let him go. And even though he held their cloaks, and even though he vindicated them and endorsed them, when he walked away from that dead body, something walked away with Saul like a splinter in his mind that would not let him go. Later on in the book of Acts, Jesus said to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. A goad is a sharp-pointed instrument that if you want a donkey to move, you hit him with the goad, and at that point motivates him. And that vision of Stephen dying in cold blood at the hands of the most religious, most respected people in the world was like a splinter, a goad in the mind of Saul that would not give him rest. It haunted him. It followed him everywhere he went. And when he tried to justify himself, yeah, well, I do this and I do that and I'm educated here and I've got this pedigree and everything else that these other men also carried, and yet it could not hide the dark, satanic rage that lurked in their hearts and the pride and the jealousy and the venom. It took this ugly, brutal death of an innocent young man to pierce the armor of this other man that God wanted to use. And nothing short of that could take the blinders off of Saul's eyes. It took blood. Doesn't it take the cross of Jesus Christ to save us? Aren't we set in our ways? Aren't we determined that we are going to live the life that we deem right for ourselves and walk in our own wisdom until one day we see the cross and all of a sudden our hearts are broken by it? I think that was a very similar experience here. I think that's why Saul persecuted the church so bad. It goes right on. I didn't bring my Bible with me. In the next passage in chapter 8, it said Saul went out breathing persecutions against the church and hauling men and women into the chains. He pursued the church. He persecuted the church with a passion. He wanted to completely wipe them off the face of the earth. I'll tell you why. Because of that splinter in his mind was starting to win. It was starting to eat away at him. All his defenses were starting to crumble. And he was about to say, wow. In his mind, he was thinking, wow, maybe this religion stuff isn't what it's cracked up to be. Maybe I need more than all this religion because I've got all this religion, and yet my hands are stained with the blood of an innocent man. If you're God, why do you let a Stephen die? Because that's the only way you can reach and create an Apostle Paul. Stephen had to die so that the Apostle Paul could come forth. And as brilliant and as gifted and anointed as Stephen was, the church never would have been what the church has become were it not for the Apostle Paul. And it took Stephen's death to pierce that armor and create an Apostle Paul. We understand grace today. Why? Because of the Apostle Paul. That was his message in the New Testament. Grace. 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 By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You can't earn God's love, but he wants so bad to give it to you by his grace. We are a church here in Queenstown today. You are sitting in the seat you're sitting in today because of the Apostle Paul. But you don't get Paul without Stephen. Praise God, when the Holy Spirit falls, and I am believing for him to fall, I am believing we are going to see revival in its fullness in this place. And I believe we are going to see transforming miracles and the power of God displayed. But that's not going to happen without what the Apostle Paul taught. And you don't get a Paul without a Stephen dying. How many people here are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? If you're not ashamed, raise your hand. You know what? You wouldn't be saved without the Apostle Paul to bring the gospel. But you don't get the Apostle Paul without what? Stephen. The death of Stephen. We have a New Testament because of the Apostle Paul. But you don't get a Paul without a Stephen. You know, I apologize in light of the pain that some of you guys have endured in your life and suffered, in this illustration just seems so pitifully inadequate. And I apologize for offering this in as if this could be a balm for you. But I would just submit to you and ask you to consider whatever it is that is in your life this that seemingly doesn't make sense, whatever suffering you may be going through or may have suffered in the past, to consider the possibility that there is something beyond your wildest imagination that God wants to birth out of that pain, that he could not birth otherwise, that there is a depth that he is building in you or has built in you that could not come without experiencing that depth of weakness and suffering. There's no resurrection without a cross. And if you love Jesus and you are following him with all your heart, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he works all things together for good to those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And he will not allow you one minutia of a moment of suffering that he is not going to use powerfully for your good. That not one moment longer than necessary that for him to use that for your abundant, prosperous good and blessing, and for his glory to be magnified in your life. And if God could bring an Apostle Paul and a thriving, glorious church out of the death of a young man like Stephen, I know that he can bring glory and abundance and prosperity and fullness in life out of whatever suffering he has called you to walk in for a season. For a season. As Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works in us a far exceedingly great weight of glory. And you may get to eat the fruit of that in your life right now. You may get to eat the fruit of that in this life that you live. But if not, I promise you this, you will eat the fruit of that for all eternity. When God balances those scales on the other side of eternity, you will be on your face in gratitude for his grace that he allowed you to experience that valley so that he could bring that glory out in you forever and ever and ever and ever. So if this, you know, I'm just a dude, and if this has not, if you're still kind of scratching your head and saying, oh, thanks, John, but you know, I still don't get it. I apologize, and I pray that God would give you the grace to really experience the fullness of His glory in your life. But you know, if this speaks at all, if this says a word to you at all, if you can see God's hand moving in a situation like that, and you can apply that to your life and say, you know what, I have faith to believe that God can do that in my life out of the suffering I'm going through right now or the suffering I've had to gone through in the past, then praise God. I pray that God just brings that to you in all of its fullness and that He would fulfill everything He has called you to walk through to His glory and for your blessing. Amen. Amen. I just feel like if anybody needs prayer, that this would be a good time for it. If there's anything you want to bring before the throne of God and just lay your heart out before Him and say, God, man, I need You to lift me up, Lord. This would be a good time to do that. Is there anybody that would like prayer for anything at all? If there's anybody who would like to say, you know what, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior today because I need His resurrection power in my life. I fall short, just like Paul, but I want to receive the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. If that's you and you'd like to raise your hand for prayer, I'd love to pray for you today also. Father, we love You so much, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You would burn this into our hearts, God. Let the truth of Your Word, Lord, just be precious gold and silver to us. I thank You, Lord, that everything that happens in my life is carefully measured and weighed by You. Lord, I thank You that You have a purpose and a destiny for me, that You have set out from before the foundation of the world. And that if I will follow You, Lord, You will bring it all to pass in my life, now and forever. Father, I thank You that Your wisdom is so deep and far beyond my understanding that even when I can't figure things out, Lord, You know the end from the beginning and that You have everything under Your sovereign power and control. If I will simply proclaim Your goodness and my faith in You, You will bring it to pass, God. Father, I thank You that You would even deem us worthy to invest Your attention in, God, but You love us so much You did not even withhold Your own Son so that we could know You in all of Your glory and beauty and majesty. God, I thank You that You are at work in our lives right now, and I pray that You would just be absolutely free to work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. Do whatever it is You see fit to do. We give You the steering wheel right now. We say, Lord, have Your way in Jesus' name. Work in my life, God. I lay it before You as a sacrifice and an offering, Lord. Here is my heart. Here is my life. Have Your way in me. In Jesus' name. Amen.